Something amusing you might hear people say online is, how could we do this? These are overwhelmingly Western governments and corporations engaging in these unfettered practices of mass surveillance and are accountable to no one. And the fact of the matter is that Western governments cannot continue to support Israel's war crimes and certainly not its cyber weapons industry. The responsible thing to do would be to ban the sale of such cyber weapons and pressure any entity developing such armaments to cease immediately and entirely. But sadly, many countries that claim to be democracies are engaged in these very practices of mass surveillance, censorship, and putting journalists and whistleblowers in jail. Just look at Julian Assange, look at Chelsea Manning, or even Daniel Hale, who was sentenced just a few weeks ago for exposing the United States' horrific drone program. And given these explosive revelations of tools used to spy on, blackmail, and even kill journalists, with an entire industry dedicated to the development and sale of cyber weapons, you know this isn't the first time that Pegasus has made the headlines, and why it certainly won't be the last. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Richard Medhurst, and this is The Communique.
In the limelight.
While the Lambda variant may not be more infectious than Delta, it prophesizes what the future of the pandemic may look like and reveals why it is important to educate the public about how mutant strains work, says Matthew Rosa, writer, in an article titled Lambda Variant Raises Dire Concerns About Pandemics Future Trajectory. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. Now, the dominant strain in many countries, the ultra-contagious Delta variant, has torn through unvaccinated communities and even infected some vaccinated folks around the United States. Far from a surprise, this scenario was predicted back in March by CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky, who said then that her colleagues had a sense of impending doom for the possibility that mutant variants could sweep America. Experts also know that Delta variant is unlikely to be the last mutation. Viruses cease mutating for no one. And now another variant appears to be spreading around the world, one that may be even more resistant to vaccines than Delta. It is known as Lambda. People are noticing. Forbes magazine recently ran a story with the title, "It is time to pay close attention to the Lambda variant now devastating South America." On the other side of the equator, at Tulsa, Oklahoma, ABC affiliate warned its audience that new Lambda variant could make Oklahoma's COVID situation worse. Headlines regularly tout studies indicating that the variant could be able to evade vaccines, although the articles themselves always note that vaccinated individuals are much less likely to develop serious illnesses that the unvaccinated have. But while the Lambda variant may not be more infectious than Delta, it prophesizes what the future of the pandemic may look like and reveals why it is important to educate the public about how mutant strains work. For biological reasons, virus mutations have a tendency to crop up as vaccination rates rise. As vaccination rates increase and SARS-CoV-2 has fewer people to infect, it inevitably evolves in a way that lets it thrive in new, less auspicious environments. Dr. Jonathan Zenneman, an infectious disease specialist and professor at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, wrote to reporters, "The virus needs to develop ways to increase its transmissibility as there are less targets to infect." He noted the regularity with which mutations arise. We have been seeing a progression of increasingly transmissible variants about every 2 to 3 months. In the case of the Lambda variant, health experts' concern is that it appears to resist some of our body's immune responses better than other mutant variants which have emerged. According to Dr. Georges Benjamin, executive director of the American Public Health Association, that plus its higher infectivity puts it on the list of viruses to watch. Should it mutate in a more favorable form for infectiousness or lethality, it could be a real problem, he added. If that happens, scientists would at the very least need to update our vaccines. At this point, Benjamin emphasized the Delta variant is a priority for now, in part because no one can predict the future of the Lambda variant with any accuracy, and it has not presently proved itself to be more infectious than Delta. In the event that Lambda outbreaks happen, we may need to again close schools, businesses, and other facilities to protect people. Benjamin added, we know a lot more about how to use selected closures, and I hope we use that knowledge. The key to succeeding against the Lambda and all other variants, each of the experts who spoke with reporters agreed, is to stay on top of them. This means monitoring them through regular and rigorous research, and particularly not overreacting, since doing so might send the public the wrong impression about the importance of getting vaccinated. Initial studies in the lab that have yet to be peer-reviewed suggest that the vaccines in current use will remain protective against the Lambda variant. Dr. Russell Medford, chairman of the Center for Global Health Innovation and Global Health Crisis Coordination Center, told reporters by email, adding, the same studies also demonstrated that current monoclonal antibody therapy will also remain effective. Dr. Nadia Rohan, an associate professor of urology at the University of California, San Francisco, whose work helps identify signatures of infectious and reproductive diseases in humans, said there are promising signs in the existing data. No actual efficacy data available yet, but what's clear thus far from the studies in the lab suggests that T-cell responses elicited by vaccination remain robust against the viral variants to date, Ruan told reporters, referring to the part of the immune system that attacks specific foreign disease-causing particles, also known as pathogens. I don't expect things to be different for the Lambda variant. The takeaway here is not that vaccines are somehow ineffective. Indeed, if you get COVID-19, you're almost certainly likely to become less sick if you are vaccinated, but rather that Lambda's very existence is a red flag. These lab studies do not preclude that as the virus circulates in the population, that new variants will arise that are more resistant to our current vaccines, Medford explained. For that reason, Lambda's existence augurs the pandemic's future path. We will have to use mitigation measures, vaccines, masks, testing in combination for a while, and this is likely to become a large part of the new normal, Zen Elman predicted, adding, as Yogi Berra said, it ain't over till it's over.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. Today's lesson, the Kufan mentality. The people of Kufa, that is, those who, after receiving the news of the death of Muawiyah the oppressor, gathered in the house of Suleiman ibn Surah de Khudai, delivered speeches, took into consideration the position of the Muslims at that time, and wrote a letter to Imam from that very place. And similarly, those who visited Muslim, the representative of Imam, after his arrival in Kufa, and took oath of allegiance to him in his capacity of the special representative of the Imam of the time, did not, in fact, intend to tell lies and deceive their Imam, and to provide means for his martyrdom and the captivity of the members of his family. Truly speaking, their intentions were quite good at that time. They deemed the caliphate of a person like Yazid, and that too after 50 years of the death of the Holy Prophet, to be shameful and inadmissible for the world of Islam and did not consider anyone among all the Muslims to be more competent and more deserving than Hussein ibn Ali, the son of the Holy Prophet. They thought that they had always rendered him assistance and would continue to do so in all circumstances and would bear all hardships to achieve their divine object. They turned out to be liars and forgot what they had been thinking about themselves earlier. Let's take a short break and draw some lessons from this historical account as we come back.
As-salamu alayk, ya Aba Abdullah.
Wa ala arwahillah.
Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are discussing the Kufan mentality. And we said that the people of Kufa who pledged allegiance at the hands of Muslim wrote the letters to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and they were inviting Imam to come and establish truth and justice in the society. They were initially sincere when they were writing those letters and when they were pledging those oath of allegiance. So what happened afterwards is what we're trying to understand. Brothers and sisters, the attitude of the people who really wished that Imam Hussein alayhi salam should come at the helm of affairs and Bani Umayyah should be deprived of the Islamic government underwent such a change that although Muslim bin Aqil was keeping himself aloof and seldom met the people, he was obliged to shift from the house of Mukhtar to that of a well-known and powerful person named Hani ibn Urwa. His supporters used to visit him there secretly. So why in the world would Muslim bin Aqil, the representative of the infallible Imam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, make this move? Because he did see the disloyalty of some people. Because he did see that even those who are claiming to be our friends and supporters, they are conspiring against us. The conditions in Kufa at the time indicated that all the letters which had been sent to Imam Hussein and the promises made with him were mere lies and could no longer be relied upon. Ibn Ziyad succeeded in locating the place where Muslim was then residing. How did that all happen? It was because of the fear of losing this world that all of those people, they turned against Muslim, or a heavy majority to say the least, because of the fear of losing this world. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
But anyone stay here won't be alive tomorrow. You can save yourself tonight and go. A deep silence filled the air.
Food for thought.
Salam, and let us listen to a wonderful piece of advice from Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon him, the fourth infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Seek God's forgiveness and repent to him, for he accepts the repentance, pardons the evil doings, and knows well whatever you do.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
The annual Buddha sculpture has been unveiled at the New York State Fair to the delight of eager spectators. The artwork was sponsored for the 53rd year by the American Dairy Association. It was carved out of 400 kilograms of butter and took 10 days to build. The sculpture is dedicated to the children who will be going back to their normal lives after the coronavirus pandemic is over. Once the fair ends, all of the butter will be broken down and turned into renewable energy. Switzerland is constructing its biggest alpine solar plant in an effort to secure renewable energy throughout the year. The 2.2 megawatt plant is expected to be completed by the end of 2021. The Mutzi site will include nearly 5,000 solar modules and produce around 3.3 million kilowatt hours of electricity. It will have the option of delivering half of its production during the winter when temperatures drop to sub-zero levels in Switzerland. The developers say the project makes more environmental than fiscal sense. Currently, the country gets less than 4% of its electricity from solar power. An eatery in Japan is giving disabled people a new lease on life by including them in its workforce. Dawn Cafe uses robotic staff controlled remotely by people who are handicapped. Around 50 people with mental and physical disabilities help run the cafe. The pilots come from all over Japan as well as overseas. The venue was established with support from major companies and crowdfunding. It has become more than just a place to eat for its customers.
Customers here are not exactly coming to this location just to meet the Orihime robots. They come here because of the people behind Orihime, and they will come back to see them again.
For Kentaro, Dawn Cafe has a very personal touch. In his childhood, he was left unable to go to school due to a period of bad health. Now he aspires to come up with ways to further the inclusion of disabled people in society. Crowds of visitors and conservationists have been delighted by the birth of a rare orangutan in the Spanish town of Fuengirola. The new residents of the safari park made its first public appearance 2 weeks after its birth. The baby, yet to be named, is the only one to be born in a European zoo over the past 12 months.
The park has launched a program to conserve Borneo orangutans that are considered as a critically endangered species. Their population has declined by more than 50% over the past century. Dozens of baby turtles have made their way to the sea after an unexpected overnight hatch in Italy. Italian volunteers were surprised by track marks of the hatchlings from an unknown nest in Sicily. Some of the eggs hatched in the morning. An environmental group following the turtles' movement said that 74 hatchlings made it to the sea while five didn't. The reptiles are an endangered species of oceanic turtle that also live in the Mediterranean Sea. Their population has declined in recent years due to hunting, loss of beach nesting sites, over-harvesting of their eggs, and being caught in fishing gear.
A Slovenian enthusiast has discovered a new cave in the Alpine country, which is staggering visitors by its awe-inspiring looks. Ludwig Husu, a 63-year-old cave explorer, has come across a cavern that runs 60 meters deep in the ground. It's located in the country's karst region, an area of land made up of limestone. Some 14,000 caves are buried under the green forest of Slovenia, hiding away breathtaking stalactite and stalagmite formations. The limestone region is so pristine and uncharted that the European Space Agency has used the caves to train astronauts.
Astronauts also know that the karst world is exceptional, special, in a similar way to how a space environment can be. It is an unknown environment where you do not know what to expect at your next step. They have been here to train for precisely that, how to help yourself in a dark area where you're not sure what's going on and everything is new. That's very good training for space, and they have been very pleased to be able to prepare for something they might find in space.
Over 150 species, some looking like alien creatures, have been discovered inside the cave systems. They include an ancient aquatic salamander called the little dragon that can live up to 100 years. The animal was previously considered living proof that dragons had once existed. Some cave systems in Slovenia stretch for tens of kilometers. They are so winding and deep that scientists say large parts of them remain undiscovered despite exploration efforts dating back hundreds of years. As the U.S. is experiencing its worst heat wave, Boston zookeepers are working extra hard to keep the animals cool to avoid overheating. Some get frozen treats, and some, like the yak, get a water hosing several times a day when the temperatures rise. The hardest part is cooling down animals belonging to cold climates, like the reindeer. Since reindeer don't like water, the hosing down is a big no. Instead, the poor animals sit in front of a desk fan all day to stay away from the heat. The birds have it a little easier as they spend most of their time in air-conditioned dens.
In Indonesia, a group of university lecturers have come up with an idea of building a robot to help people during the coronavirus pandemic. The robot is assembled from electric household items like pots and pans and an old television monitor. It was named Delta after the new coronavirus variant ripped through Indonesia. The robot was initially built to entertain residents of a village in a country's East Java province. But the head of the robot-making project says he decided to shift his function into assisting people dealing with a deadly virus.
With this new Delta variant and the surging number of COVID-19 cases, I decided to turn the robot used for public services into one that sprays disinfectant and delivers food and necessities of residents who are self-isolating. I'm shifting the function to serve only the members of the community who are in need.
The interesting thing about a robot is that it greets people when delivering things to isolated residents. The developers of the robot say it has been built in a joint project with local people and is by no means a high-tech device.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
We don't know much about woolly mammoths that went extinct some 10,000 years ago, except there are scant references in archaeology books. Now scientists have discovered that the giant mammals could walk incredibly long distance. Scientists from the University of Alaska have concluded that a male mammoth named Kik covered enough ground in its 28-year lifespan to encircle the Earth twice. To come up with the data, paleontologists analyzed one of Kik's well-preserved tusks. They say the animal lived with a herd through its infancy and youth and then went on to live alone. Scientists hope they will learn more about mammoths by analyzing further data from Kik's remains.
After an epic 17-month journey that drew international attention, China's famous herd of wandering elephants has finally returned home. Wildlife protection officials said the elephants safely crossed the bridge over the Yuan River to reach their protected habitat. The Asian elephants also received a little encouragement from wildlife rangers to help them get home. Staff used corn trails as bait and built artificial roads to ensure the herd took the right route. The 1,300-kilometer odyssey that began in March captivated audiences with several highlights. One of the highlights was the birth of a calf in November. In June, drone footage was captured of the 14-member herd as they were sleeping outside of a village. The world's oldest wooden boat belonging to Egyptian pharaoh King Khufu has been moved to its new home in a painstaking transfer process. It took 48 hours to move the 20-ton vessel to the Grand Egyptian Museum from the Giza Pyramids. It was carefully fixed inside a metal cage and carried on a remote-controlled vehicle. The 4,600-year-old vessel, also known as Solar Boat, was not built to sail through seas. In ancient Egypt, pharaohs commissioned solar boats, which were essentially virtual vessels, to transport them to the afterlife. To fulfill their purpose, they were buried in pits next to royal burial chambers. Prehistoric cave paintings found in Spain prove that Neanderthals were the first artists on Earth. A new study says red markings discovered in three caves near Malaga did not occur naturally. They were made by Neanderthals nearly 65,000 years ago. That's when modern humans did not inhabit the continent yet. The findings suggest that the pigments were applied at different times, sometimes more than 10,000 years apart. This shows that Neanderthals returned to the site over time to make symbolic markings.
I believe that this art made by the Neanderthals will be also found in other caves around the world. This non-figurative art, which we have not paid attention to, may be precisely the oldest art in the world. So this place in Spain is one of the caves with the oldest art in the world.
Researchers say the pigments are yet another evidence that the intellectual capabilities of Neanderthals have been underestimated. Neanderthals went extinct about 40,000 years ago.
Egypt's forgotten art of fabric is undergoing a revival thanks to a designer who has been working hard to bring the ancient cloth decorating technique to life. Working tirelessly in a small workshop in Old Cairo, Samer Hassanyan has enhanced the art of batik over the years. Samer is one of the few designers in Egypt to use the traditional method to design on fabrics. The art consists of patterns created by applying melted wax onto cloth before dipping it in dye or painting over it with a brush. The fabric is put into boiling water in order to melt the wax. The ancient Egyptians used the batik fabric mostly to wrap the coffins and mummies. However, the difficulty of mastering the art caused its disappearance.
Batik has disappeared in Egypt because no one shared their skill. As a teacher, I find that it is very important to provide as much training as I can because people realize how difficult it is when they start learning the techniques.
Samer has now a skillful artist in her workshop who designed colorful fabric using the technique. Samer says her goal is to produce unique designs that are particularly identified as to Egyptian and represent the country's rich cultural heritage.
Artists in an Egyptian village work hard to keep alive the ancient tradition of making papyrus paper despite the tourist downturn amid the coronavirus pandemic. The village of Karamus in northeastern Cairo is the largest hub of papyrus production in the country. Many of the residents of the village are involved in farming, processing and decorating papyrus planted in 25 farms near the village. The Pharaonic era tradition includes cutting strips from the plant, pressing them together and drying them to form a sheet. The artists then decorate the papyrus to create beautiful products for tourists. However, the industry has been affected by the coronavirus pandemic, forcing the artists to use more creativity.
We are trying to think out of the box to keep this profession alive. We make products out of papyrus paper like wallets, notebooks, drawing sketches, new products, so we can keep going.
The artists have also launched online stores to sell their new products. Papyrus producers say they have lost nearly 80% of their income in the last 2 years. However, they say they will never stop making papyrus and will make every effort to keep the ancient cultural tradition alive. You can find tin boxes in every house, with people often throwing them away after consuming what they had inside. But an old lady in Belgium has turned it into her obsession. An obsession for years to fill her home with these fascinating containers. 83-year-old Madame Dardenne has gathered around 60,000 vintage tin boxes in a span of 30 years. The empty containers of all sizes now occupy four other houses. They once used to hold all kinds of goods, ranging from coffee, biscuits, tobacco, tea and soap to shoe polish, are now piled high all over the building that belongs to Dardenne. Some of these boxes, according to her, come from as far as India and Japan. Dardenne says it all started with a chocolate box that was given to her with a painting of a blonde girl in a blue hat.
I consider this box to be the first of my collection. It is a box of Belgian Côte d'Or chocolates that a relative of my husband gave me, believing that I was interested in boxes.
She sees the boxes as history books with decorations and writings on them describing major events and reflecting contemporary culture. The collection is the largest in the world, listed by the Guinness Book of Records. Located in eastern Belgium, the museum can be visited by appointment.
Children saying is the light of guidance and the ship of salvation.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes. In the name of Allah, the Almighty,
Dear friends, Salamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. Today, in this episode, we're going to speak about Imam al-Hussein, the Ark of Salvation. Accept our condolences on the month of Muharram. Inshallah, all of your deeds and gatherings for Imam Hussein has been accepted by Allah the Almighty.
Allahumma ja'al mahya ya mahya Muhammad wa al Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammad wa al Muhammad.
We open the calendar. Today, Sunday, is the 13th of the month of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 31st of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's start with a chapter of the Holy Quran, chapter Nuh. We'll listen to verses 1 to 3.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Inna arsalna Nuhan ila qawmihi an anzir qawmaka min qabli an ya'tiyahum azaabun aleem.
Indeed, we sent Noah to his people, saying, warn your people before there comes to them a painful punishment.
قال يا قوم إني لكم نذير مبين.
He said, O my people, indeed I am to you a clear warner.
أن اعبدوا الله واتقوه وأطيعون.
Saying, worship Allah, fear him and obey me.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed chapter in question treats of Noah's prophetic call, thereby providing those who treat the path of God Almighty with points of interest concerning calling people unto the truth, particularly while confronting obdurate peoples. According to the second blessed verse, Prophet Noah, peace be upon him, was the first prophet upon whom divine scriptures had been revealed, and his prophetic call addressed the world. Upon receiving divine command, he went to his people and said that he was a plain warner to them. Why is Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, the guiding light and the salvation ship? Salvation is related to success in the hereafter. Without salvation in the hereafter, the life of this world is in loss. If somebody fails to achieve salvation in the hereafter, all his efforts in this world have gone in vain, and loss is the sum total of such a person's life. But the salvation cannot be achieved until we have been properly guided and have led our lives in harmony with the virtuous guidance. The guidance and salvation are connected. A misguided person cannot reach salvation, and the one who has reached salvation must have rightly guided. The glorious personality of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, provides the solution to the both problems. He is a lamb of guidance in this world's life and the ark of salvation in the hereafter. The lamb shows the path to others, and without the lamb, knowing and leading one's life on the right path is almost impossible. The ark of salvation saves from falling in the abyss of hell. Those who have embarked this ark will definitely be saved.
Sayyid Muhammad Ridwi.
The Ark of Nuh was not an ordinary ship. It was something built under the supervision, direct supervision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very much like the Kaaba itself. Ibrahim and Ismail were the one who reconstructed it under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second point was whoever gets on it will be rescued and saved. Anybody doesn't get on it will perish, including the son of Nuh. And so relationships don't count. And what was the name of this son of Nuh? We have one of the questions there. Kana'an. Another important point is that when this ark one, you know, started, there was no navigator, engineer, or anything like that. You know, Nuh just said, Bismillahi marsaha wa majraha wa mursaha. You know, the direction was set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The navigation system was set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, he was just there, you know, managing the people, not actually, you know, being the captain of the ship. And this is a very important point, that if it is a safina which comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether in the form of the safina of Nuh or the safina of Muhammad in form of Ali Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides them and he takes them to the ultimate destination. Salawat Panda Iqbal.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. One of the effects of the movement of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, is freedom. After so many years, one of the quotes of Imam Hussein is still remembered. If you do not believe in religion, at least be free in your world. This saying invites the whole world to practice freedom. The message of Imam al-Hussein continues, and his followers reject submission to oppression. Freedom from enslavement by tyrants or anyone except Allah is one of the points of Imam al-Hussein's revolution that can be used to realize the true values of Islam in this day and time. Hence, those who are in love with Imam al-Hussein, no matter what religion they have, will try to free themselves from misfortune and obedience to anyone except Allah by following Hussein's path.
Assalamu alaykum, ya Abu Abdullah.
على الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد من زيارتك السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام
Karbala and its great dome. The rays of the morning sun gild the great dome that crowns the building containing the tomb of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. Karbala actually stands on one of the great caravan routes of desert. Today, the river city of Kufa, once a Khilafat capital, is a mere village, and the city of Najaf is famous for the tomb of Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him. Karbala, this outpost of the desert, is a mart and a meeting ground as well as a sacred place. It's the port of the desert, beautifully kept, is the road to the mausoleum to which call through the year come pilgrims from all parts of the world. Beautiful color tiles decorate the building. Inside, in the ceiling and upper walls, there is a great deal of glass mosaic. The tomb itself is in a sort of inner grille, and below the ground is a sort of cave, where is shown the actual place where the martyr fell.
The izzah, the honor a person can get is by what? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna al-izzata lillahi jami'an. The izzah, the honor is what? Is Allah's, only Allah. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give it to, like in the surah Munafiqeen, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِلْرُسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ, the Izzah belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he give it to who? لِرَسُولِهِ, for the Prophet. And to who? To the believers. And that's why you see, you know, for a period of time maybe, someone like Mutawakkil Abbasi can come and has the rule to cut the hands and the heads of the Zuwar of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, to destroy the shrine of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. But did he stop the rule of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi? Abi Abdullah al-Hussein is the true empire that the sun never sets on. Empires come and go, but Abi Abdullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi stays. So if you want to go in that direction to be honorable, go with the people who honored Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be that person who honors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Empty your heart, but from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love.
اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all from today's special from IRIB English Radio. Believe you in protection of Allah, the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum.
As-salamu ala al-mura'ma li bid-dima'i. As-salamu ala gharibi al-ghuraba'i.
from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up,